What's good, Rio Town? How you guys doing? My name's Young, and I'm on staff here at RIV, and I'm excited to be with you all this morning. You know, one of the things I love most about us here at Rio Town is that we do this, like, lingering thing before and after the service. You know what I'm talking about, right? We catch up with people that we might have seen throughout the week, or we catch up with people that we might not have seen throughout the week, and just seeing how they're doing and just speaking some goodness into their lives. And honestly, when I see that, it just looks like it's a good thing, right? And so this might sound like an awkward plea, but I personally would love it if to get to know you guys after the service is over. So feel free to say what's good, say what's up. I would love to know how your week went and what brought you here at RIV, because that's what community is all about, right? In fact, we're all probably really, really busy and could probably save like that extra minute or so to get some work done or to get that good, yummy Sunday nap in by just dipping out right after the service is over. But yet we don't. And why is that? Why do we choose to bother with something called community? Last week, we jumped into this new series, a mini-series called Why Bother, where we're considering and we're asking why it's actually worth our time and energy and effort to really care about certain things like mission and prayer and coming to church when the busyness of life could tempt us into thinking we could really do without them. Right? And so today we're going to answer the question, why bother with living in community? And this morning I want to define community as being a group of interacting individuals with common interests, attitudes, and goals. But before we begin, I would love to open us up with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today, for gathering us here safely. To hear from your word, Lord, to gather in community as a church body, to sing songs of praise and worship to you, where we can just hear our brothers and sisters next to us sing these songs of praise to you, Lord. Would it be edifying to you and to one another, Lord? We thank you for community, Lord, that you have given to us. And if we have yet to find that, Lord, would we find that here at RIV, Lord? So would your word speak to us this morning? May we have open hearts, ears, and minds to take it in, Lord, and to see what you have to say to us this morning. So we thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so my family immigrated to the States about a little over 25 years ago from South Korea. It first started with my grandma, her mom, and my grandma's sister, and my uncle. And then my dad followed about a year after. And then my mom and I followed. Probably came here in like 91, 92. And we lived in Detroit for a few years. And my parents, they obviously didn't speak any English at all, except for my dad, who honestly, I think he knew like three phrases. It was thank you, excuse me, and Dr. Pepper. Because he like loved Dr. Pepper. And moving to a foreign land, he really didn't know, or my family didn't really know anybody, right? And so what did they do? They sought out community in a local Korean church in the Metro Detroit area, where there were people who looked like them, who spoke the same language as them, ate the same food as them, maybe had some differences here and there too. They were fellow immigrants, right? Ran the same businesses and a whole bunch of other things. And even through the busyness of their own life, of moving to a foreign land, trying to start this new life here in America, they still sought out to find community. Why is that? And my hunch is that they were seeking to find life because they knew that it would be the death of them if they were to remain alone and apart from any folks to help them out. And I think that this morning we might resonate a little bit with that too, as we think about why we should bother with community. So if you have your Bibles, feel free to flip, tap, or swipe to Psalm chapter 133, and we're going to be living there this morning, in Psalm 133. Or you can follow along on the slides up on the screen. Psalm 133, this is what it says. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." So if you're like me, my Old Testament knowledge is definitely not on the same plane as my New Testament knowledge. So what the heck does any of this mean, right? And what does any of this really have to do with community? And so I want to take us verse by verse this morning through the psalm and see if we can answer the question about why we should bother with living in community. So Psalm chapter 133, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." King David is the writer of the psalm. And to provide a little bit of context for this, his life was actually marred with brokenness in his family, in his kingdom. He had his posse that turned their backs on him, meaning this man knew what it meant to not be in community. And so when you read some psalms, there are actually pockets of him lamenting of being alone and apart from community. And because he experienced that, I think that when he sees brothers dwelling in unity, his reaction is that of what? Pure joy. So much so that he actually writes this psalm, right? And you see, this psalm is actually part of a collection of psalms called the Songs of Ascent, like ascending, right? And the purpose of these psalms was that they would be sung by the Jewish people as they would travel uphill to Jerusalem, since the city was on this really high hill. So they will be singing these songs as they traveled uphill to Jerusalem during any of the three main annual Jewish festivals to worship God. And so King David, he's painting this picture for us here with the psalm for us of this community of brothers who are not only walking to worship God physically, going to Jerusalem, but also spiritually. And King David, he starts the psalm off by saying the word, "Behold." And this isn't a word that we usually use nowadays, right? I mean, nobody really says "behold." I remember Pastor Noel, he once used it when saying, like, "Behold, like Chick-fil-A has come to Lansing." And this word "behold," it means new and magnificent. And I think, Chick-fil-A is, or at the time it was new, and it's still magnificent. And so it's accurate to use it like that way. So what does King David see when he says "behold"? It's definitely not Chick-fil-A in Jerusalem, because that would just be weird. But he does see something magnificent. Or rather, he uses the words, what, good and pleasant. The word "good" in Hebrew is tov, T-O-V, tov. And it shows up in the creation account when God creates the universe. And he looks at it and he says, what? He says, it is good. It is tov. And Pastor James once explained this word, tov, to be like this, like, this is good. Like, you see something, you're like, oh man, this is tov. Or like maybe like drinking Dr. Pepper. It's like tov. Like my dad, he might have been, you know, drank some Dr. Pepper. He's like, this is tov. Even though he probably wouldn't have said that because he didn't know what good or tov was. But anyways, so, and I wonder if King David sees these people dwelling in community And he just sighs a sigh of, oh, man, that is a good sight to see. And I think we found our first answer as to why we should bother with living in community. And honestly, it's nothing profound. It's quite simple, really. And it's a little bit broad, but it's quite simple. And it's this: we should bother with living in community because living in community is a good and pleasant sight. And so from here, King David, he provides us two metaphors on the that show us how good and pleasant it is when brothers do dwell in unity. Look at verse 2. This is what he says. He says, this is living in community. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. So before we get into what King David is trying to say here, we need to know a little bit of our Old Testament history, right? And so who's this guy Aaron that he's talking about? Well, Aaron, he's Moses' older brother. And if you don't know who Moses is, go watch The Prince of Egypt, you know, like, Let My People Go. You can do that after church with people from Riv. But anyways, Aaron, he comes from this tribe of Levi, right? This tribe called the tribe of Levi, who supplied the high priests of Israel, that God chose, hey, you guys in the tribe of Levi are going to be the high priests of Israel. And not all the people in the tribe of Levi were high priests, but all the high priests were from the tribe of Levi. And so when the high priests would get ordained, they would be anointed with oil. And I don't want you to think like they're pouring some like olive oil or some cooking oil on their head, but it was like this sweet perfume. It was expensive, it was rich, it was a sweet type of perfume, oil that was going off their head. And this whole process of ordaining the high priest was a holy and righteous thing. And King David says that when he sees his brothers dwelling in unity, it resembles such a holy and righteous moment as the anointing of a high priest. And so when we're part of this Christ-centered, God-loving community, we're partaking in a holy and righteous thing. And I want to pause here because I don't want us to think that this is like a we're holier than thou, righteouser than thou kind of thing, right? But what I mean is that this Christ-centered community is holy and righteous because we aim to walk in step with the word and not in sin. It's not on the screen here, but I just want to quickly read something from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, where the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Which leads us to our second reason as to why we should bother with living in community. We should bother to live in community because living in community, we can encourage one another to walk away from sin and towards Jesus Christ. This reminds me of, I was in a workshop once with where this pastor was talking about community, and he differentiated two things, accountability and community. And a lot of times we might think that they're interchangeable and synonymous, but he actually differentiated the two. He said that essentially accountability is after you ask me, hey, young, how are you doing with XYZ sin? I can just share with you 95% of my sin that really I'm okay with sharing, but that 5% I'm hiding, that's probably the core of it. And I'm going to keep it to myself. And I'm going to give myself a pat on the back and say, hey, dude, good job. You shared 95% of that, but they don't know the other 5. And whereas community is that other people get to what? They get to lovingly confront me on 100% of that sin. And I don't get to really pick and choose how much they want to talk to me about it. So I can get pretty loud and obnoxious when I'm with my friends. so much so, I'm that guy in the group that makes people around our group look at our group and think, wow, they're really, really loud. And then they look and they just see, oh, it's just that one bald Korean guy talking. Anyways, out of my obnoxiousness, I've learned that sometimes I just say things and words just come out of my mouth without really doing a check with my brain. and I remember one time my roommate, I love this guy. He lovingly confronted me on that because I guess I've been, over a course of time, I was saying jokes about him, with my friends, and he was there too, but I thought everybody, it's all good because people are laughing. And then he finally tells me, hey, dude, that's actually been hurting me a lot. And he confronted me about my sin that was loose with my tongue. And I was able to repent to him and to God and really begin to walk away from that sin. And community can be a scary thing, right? Where people call us out and confront us on some things. And maybe even the confronting is hard. We like to maybe water down some of the ways that we confront. But I would encourage us to lovingly take it in and to lovingly confront about sin. So what else does King David say living in communities like? He gives us the second metaphor in Psalm chapter 133, verse 3. He says this. He says, it is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. All right, so if you're like me, And you definitely thought that Hermon was some dude. Like, when I read this, I was like, who is Hermon? And then I did some more research, and I was like, oh, it's a mountain. Definitely not a dude. It's a very large mountain. And so Mount Hermon, it's this large mountain with snow caps up top. And so when the sun would be out, the moisture would rise up. And then when nightfall came, the moisture would come down and trickle onto the smaller mountains of Zion. And would become like dew, like Mountain Dew, which is better than Dr. Pepper, and that's a bad joke. Anyways, and so, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, sorry, Dad. But so it would trickle down to Zion, and Zion in Scripture has multiple meanings throughout the Bible. It depends on where you read it, it has multiple meanings. But here, King David is using it to describe Jerusalem, where the Jewish people would be having these journeys to go and to worship God. So what does any of this have to do with community? What do mountains have to do with community? And King David, I think, gives us that answer in the second half of the verse, where it says this, for there in Jerusalem, so that's what he's talking about there, the Lord God has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So what is this blessing that King David is talking about? We might be tempted to quickly jump the gun and say, well, life, duh, it's like right there. But I think we need to read this with the eyes of the original audience, the Jewish people, right? Because when they read this, as they're singing this psalm, they would recognize that King David is talking about this blessing being what? Community with God. Why is that? Check this out. So see, when King David says there, he's talking about Jerusalem, right? And this psalm being a song of ascent, as they're walking up, we know that these brothers are walking to Jerusalem to literally worship God and therefore what? Commune with him. They're walking to a place to Jerusalem where the temple is so that they can commune and worship with God. And now the life forevermore line makes sense because communing with God will always bring life. Not just temporarily, but what? Forevermore. So back to our question, what does any of this have to do with community? And the answer is I think that there is life to be found in community. Let me say that again. I think that there is life to be found in community. And I think what King David is getting at is this. Life flourishes in community, whereas death lurks in loneliness. So I don't know about you all, but I've definitely had seasons of loneliness in my life. I think one of the most recent ones was a couple years ago when I realized that the majority of my friends that I'd gone to college with, I went to Michigan State, and a lot of my friends that I'd gone to college with, they're no longer here in the Lansing, East Lansing area. They've moved out to, the bigger cities like Chicago, New York, somewhere in California. And I was literally one of the few, if not the only person, that decided to stay in the area. And I love Lansing. It's grown on me. And I love this place. And so it was tough to not feel alone, though, during that time, especially because of social media. I know I'm getting into like a millennial thing. But, like, just seeing all my friends doing these things in, like, big cities. And it's like, oh, you know, I wish I could kind of be part of that with them and be with them too. So I had this season of loneliness that I was really wrestling with. And so if death lurks in loneliness, and what kind of deaths are there? I just want to quickly just go over four different deaths that I think loneliness brings. And one, it's I don't mean to be too morbid this morning, but I think it's physical death. I think one of the leading causes of suicide is depression, and from depression can stem from loneliness, right? And the second is emotional death, where if we're alone, we can sometimes become apathetic to our loneliness. We become okay with not really being in community. We might put a good foot out on social media and say, I'm doing all these things, but really inside we might be a little apathetic to things. Third is mental death. Psychologists say that loneliness is often associated with things such as depression and personality disorders, even Alzheimer's. And fourth, is I think there's a spiritual death that comes about with loneliness. Romans 6:23, Apostle Paul, he writes this. Romans 6:23, he writes this. He writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You see, when we sin, there's this separation from God that occurs, where we're no longer communing with Him, but we're communing with sin. And if blessing, as King David says, is life from communing with God, then sin is what? Life apart from God. But the good news is that we can be reconciled to God and find life not only through community, but through the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that He took that sin that you're struggling with, or maybe the shame of being alone, or the struggle of being alone, He took that to the cross and was buried in the grave with it. And the crazy thing is that when He resurrected from the grave 3 days later, He left all that there. And then He ascended to heaven, where if we are to believe in that message, we too can be positionally with Christ in the heavenlies and communing with God forevermore. I'm a bad news guy, or not bad news guy? Bad news first kind of guy, which is why I started off with the death lurks in loneliness part first. But there is life that flourishes in community, right? So other than the good news being the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the cool part about this is that when our communities are gospel-centered themselves, we can confidently know that there is life to be found there. You see, we spent the majority of our time last year in the book of John, where Jesus consistently, time and time again, He kept saying that He was, what, the source of life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, oh, lost my piece. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, a truth, and a source of life, but He is the source of life. So it's no wonder that when King David talks about community, it seems as though he must talk about life. It's as if the two are inseparable. And so we find our third reason as to why we should bother with living in community, which is this. It's that living in community brings us out of loneliness and death and into life. So you might be sitting there listening to this and thinking, well, I'm already part of a community, tight-knit one. What does any of this have to really do with me? And there might be a few things that some of you noticed that I didn't really go over with the psalm, and it's this. What is the significance of King David mentioning this oil on the head, beard, and the robe of Aaron? Well, it's this, that as you read through verses 2 and 3, there's this literary theme running through it. Did you catch it? King David uses the phrase running down twice, and in verse 3, he alludes to the same concept by saying which falls. And so whenever we read the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, where there is repetition, it means that we should kind of hone in on that and pay attention to that. And so the question with that is, what does any of this running down and which falls have to do with community. One commentator said it this way. He said that Christian love scatters blessings by the way of coming down. It ran down or went down, descended, first to God, to his saints, and then saint to saint, and then saint to sinner. And so if you're already part of a community, then I would encourage you to scatter your Christian love, your Christ-centered love as a community to the larger community around you, to those that may not have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. Last week, Justin, he talked about why we should bother with living on mission. And the ultimate answer that he gave was what? To glorify God. So how compatible is that with living in community? The two, honestly, they go hand in hand, being on mission and living in community. Because as God gives us the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, we not only share that within our communities, but we're also called to share that with the greater community around us. And we do not insulate as Christians in our nice and warm Christian communities, but we bother with living in community, getting into the nitty-gritty with the people around us that might not know about Jesus Christ. And so we bother with living in community because living in community allows us to share the gospel to the larger community through our smaller community. So if you're here this morning and you fall under one of these four categories, it's you're already part of a strong, tight-knit community. You might be, or you're kind of, but not really in a community, and you're seeking one out. Maybe you walked into this church by yourself, and you're going to leave by yourself, but you're desiring to be part of a community. And four, maybe you walked into this church by yourself, and you're going to leave this church by yourself, but you don't really care or have time to be part of a community. And I would love to encourage you all in this way, is that if you're already part of a strong, tight-knit community, that you would reach out to the people around you, whom you know that they desire a community to be part of. And even within your communities, to be authentic in confessing your sins and struggles to the people around you so that they can help you walk away from sin and towards Jesus Christ. To just be authentic, or as the kids nowadays, they say, keep it 100 and just be real with everybody. And if you fall under the other three categories, there's a section in your tear-offs that if you came in this morning where you can check off life groups and you can put your information down. And here at Riv, we really, really, really love to see and want to encourage you all to be plugged into a life group, which sounds like exactly what it is. It's a group of people that you walk life with and even bring life, eternal life, to while you're in it. And so as we go from this place today, I hope that we can remember King David calling us to live in community and that there's blessing to be found there. And if you find yourself that you're in a community where you're the only follower of Jesus Christ, could I encourage you also to just stay in that community so you can be a witness to all the people there? So if you're like my parents, where you enter a new place and you maybe only know a few phrases, or if you need someone to speak the truth and love to you, or you're entering into a season of loneliness, because we have those seasons, high seasons, low seasons of loneliness, and maybe even feeling apathetic to it, may I encourage us all that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that in the gospel message that he came to earth to die on the cross for our sins, and that he was buried with our sins, and that he resurrected from the grave, conquering our sins, and that he ascended into heaven, where if we were to believe in that, we can be positionally seated with him in the heavenlies. If we were to believe in that, that there's life forevermore to be found in that. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing that you are God who desires, who yearns to commune with us. Lord, in our sin, we choose to not commune with you. And Lord, I pray that you would convict in our hearts to truly walk away from sin and into the gospel, into the word, and into a gospel and God-loving centered community. God, I pray that you would just be with each and every single one of us as we go from this place today, Lord, that you would convict us to just to love you and to love the people around us and to seek out the word and to seek out community in our lives. So we thank you and we pray all in Jesus' name. Amen.